Now, this weekend's been quite a whirlwind for me, and I can tell you I am pumped up, to be honest with you. I'm fired up, but I am also ready to take a nap. You know what I'm saying? These kids, they'll give you a run for your money for sure. But we've had an awesome weekend, and we've been digging into the Word of God and serving others. And again, it's just amazing to see these students, you know, step out in faith and do things, step out in faith and speak up, to start digging into themselves a little bit and their relationship with God. And so it's just been awesome. So our theme this weekend has been undivided, and I want to share with you our theme verse. Our theme verse has been Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. All weekend we have been focusing in on that, what that looks like. What does it mean to have an undivided heart? Since session one, we showed students that loving God and not the world follows the commands of Christ. In session two, we help students, you know, understand the connection between the call to imitate God and not the world, right? That goes along with those commands. And last night, we talked about having the mindset of God, the mindset of Jesus, what that looked like. And with all this that we've gone through, we still have a question that needs to be answered, and that's why. Why should we have undivided hearts for God? Because that's quite an important question for us, isn't it? A lot of times we will go and we don't have a problem doing something, but a lot of times we want to know why. You know, I have two older kids now, and I've got a little one now. He's almost two. He's about to be two. And, you know, I'm just trying to think myself, you're getting closer and closer to that why phase. Y'all know what I'm talking about, that why phase of kids? Like, but why? Like, just need you to do it. Okay, but why? We want to know why. It's honestly a good question. It's a good question to ask ourselves. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 19. And this is a passage most of you probably know. Very, very famous passage, very famous preaching from Jesus. It says in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye of the lamp is the body of the light." Excuse me, guys. "The eye of the lamp," I'm going to get this right, "the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." With this passage in mind, I want to point out a few things, because we've been playing this whole weekend on the idea of the godly things and the worldly things. Why we should follow God and not the world. And here's what I want you to understand. Worldly treasures are temporary treasures. They're just temporary. They will turn to dust. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I really do, because there are some things that we love, right? We'll save up money to buy, and it's stuff that brings us maybe a little bit of happiness, and we'll do hobbies, and we'll do all these things, and listen, even going to college, right, and getting that degree, although, sure, they're important things, here's the deal. Those things will turn to dust. They are temporary. There's nothing eternal about it. And we need to have that mindset. And I'm going to tell you, I think I'm on the volunteer fire department here. I've been on it since I was 18 and longer if you count the just being up there at the fire department with my parents, you know, before that. And I think it's really taught me this, because I have seen people lose everything like that. That quick. Gone. And people, I've seen them seem like just their lives are destroyed, because they didn't have a hope in Jesus. We have to remember that although we can store up things and we can gather things for ourselves in this world, yeah, we can do that. But we need to have that understanding that those are still temporary things. And here's something else. Focus on temporary treasures dulls the light in your life. It dulls the light in your life. You see, if all our focus is on these temporary treasures, if all we can do is just worry about the next thing we have to do, and worry about the next thing we have to get to, and worry about the next thing we have to get, how could we ever tell anyone about Jesus? If all you can focus on is these temporary things that are passing, and whether you're going to get to the next thing, you know, we'll make little marks for ourselves. All right, we're going to cross this finish line, but we got another one up ahead. We got to get that one. We got to check these boxes. We got to get over here. We got to make this. We got to make this. Here's the deal. If we're focused on that and we're so worried about that and not focused on Jesus, how do you think you're going to tell the world about him? Focus on those temporary treasures. See, it dulls that light in our life. We don't shine as bright, and we are called to shine brightly. I also want you to know this. You will choose to serve either the temporary or eternal. That's it. There's two choices there. And you will choose. Every single person on this planet will choose. They will choose whether they serve the temporary or the eternal. And here's what happens. And a lot of people, you know, they don't like this. They don't like the idea of this. But it's just the truth. An unconscious choice to follow the world and its treasures is a conscious choice to deny God. Because we are all called to make a conscious choice to follow God daily. Every single day. We will choose. And you can't serve two masters. Luke 9:23, it says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Another popular passage of scripture, but yet we seem to forget about it all the time. We love holding on to those scriptures, don't we? But do we really follow them? Let's keep reading there in Matthew. Verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow? They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We get so caught up in tomorrow, don't we? We get so caught up in the things that will come in our futures. I want to ask you something. And before I move further, I'm really going to kind of target the parents, okay? I'm going to target the parents in here because this is important. It is so important. I mean, it's important for these kids, don't get me wrong. But I need you to know something. This right here is important. And I ask this question, are you all in for Jesus? I mean it. I want you to, like, I'm seeing some head nods. Are you all in for Jesus? Are you? We got this group here. We all in. What about back here? Seeing some head nods? Yeah, all in for Jesus. Awesome. There we go. That's what I like to see. I had Noah do a little research for me this week. We started out this Monday. We got almost 50 students. We didn't quite get 50 students between our church and the school, about half and half. You know what we asked them? We went up to them and asked them, said, hey, listen, I want you to respond with the first thing that comes to mind, okay, when we ask this. First thing that comes to mind. If I were to ask your parents what's the most important thing that they want for you in this life, what would it be? That's what we asked them. And out of almost 50 students, only 8 mentioned anything about God. And that wasn't all our kids that mentioned it. Some of the other kids from the school and stuff mentioned God. Now tell me you're all in for Jesus. Because I can go through a list and show you what these kids answered. Have a successful life. Go to college. All kinds of answers. And we just had a few that said either to know God or to be saved. That's what we're working with, church. Parents, I ask you, are you all in? Because your kid sees you. And they see what you put your focus on. That's their reality. I want you to understand that. Let's keep going here, though. Let's talk about these passages. You see, worldly worries come from temporary problems. I want you to think about that. When you are so worried, listen, and I get it. We have a life we have to live here. But when you become so worried on whether you're going to make that payment, when you become so stressed out of whether or not this is going to happen, or whether you can get your kids to do this, or whatever it may be, when you become so worried about those worldly things, understand those are temporary problems. There's nothing eternal about them. It's the issues of what we want. We want them to be saved. Those are the real issues, right? We want them to know God, but are you showing them that? Or are you showing them only these temporary problems and the worries that come with them? I got another story to share. I asked Chris if I could share this. So a couple years ago, or I guess a few years ago now, we decided to take a little family trip to the beach. And so it was, you know, fun, just a nice little trip. And we asked Chris and Molly if they'd like to come. They had him at the time. And so we go down there, right? We go down to Gulf Shores, spend a few days. And over the course of our time there, I could just tell something was off. Like, I was, you know, Chris and Molly, you know, like every couple fights, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, something seemed off. Seemed like there was some tension there, and I didn't, you know, and my personality, you can ask my dad and stuff, is just like, I just go in and just ask it. Like, I'm not the person that kind of beats around the bush. I'm just like, hey. And I did. I sat down with Chris one day. I was like, hey, what's going on, man? What's the deal? Seems like something's off. And he said, man, I'll be honest with you, Molly and me have been fighting because I didn't think we should come because I just found out I got laid off. And so I didn't feel like we needed to spend the money. And I said, oh, is that it? That's literally how I responded to him. I was like, oh, is that it? I was like, why are you worried about that? That's how I responded to him. And I began to explain to him, I said, man, dude, you've got the skills. You got the know-how. You're going to get another job. I don't have any doubt in my mind. And by the way, he did. He got rehired in a different position at the company he was already in. But I said, man, what you worried about that for? You're here with your family. We're here enjoying God's creation. Man, try to enjoy it. Don't worry about that stuff. You'll be fine. But we do. We get so worried and so bogged down by these temporary problems. Here's something else, guys. Worldly worries. What do you think about this? Because worrying is something that, you know, can be a good thing. But worldly worries cannot fill an eternal purpose. It can't happen. Worried about some of these worldly things and what goes on with all of that, it cannot fill eternal purpose. And we have eternal purpose. But no, we go around and we go about our days, and every single day it's like we're missing it. We're missing it. We're busy getting the kids ready for school, right? We got to make sure we're to work on time, or we got to run errands. We got to get the kids to ball game, doing everything to get that college scholarship, right, or recognition, or the trophy, right? We got to win those medals, and I feel like we're worried more about getting those worldly trophies than those heavenly crowns. Here's the deal. One of these days, and again, I want to talk to the parents. Kids, you listen, because this applies to you as well. But one of these days, all of us, I'm going to say these kids, but all of us are going to stand before God, and he's not going to care what college you went to. He's not going to care how many games you started in. He's going to care about what you did with Jesus. And here's something else I want us to understand and know. Eternal purpose, having that mindset of Jesus Christ, it quells temporary fears. Having the mindset that I am here to proclaim the name of Jesus, I am here to give glory to God, it quells those temporary fears. It does away with them. Look, those temporary problems may still be there, but you're going to have the right mindset to tackle those things. And parents, that's what your kids need to see you doing. There's nothing that could happen to us when we have the mindset of Christ, when we put our undivided faith in God. Nothing can happen to us circumstance-wise, anything in this life, these temporary problems, nothing can happen to us to steal our joy. Nothing. We got to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask, I got a few students down here that's going to come help me with a little illustration. See, here's the deal. We have a lot of different things in our life going on. We do, don't we? A lot of things that take our attention and our time. And listen, we talked about this the first night. Friday night, we said, listen, I don't think we have, honestly, a problem loving God. I really do. I think a lot of us in here, we love God, but it's like we're struggling, aren't we? Like, how do I give God my time? How do I give him all this when I've got to go over here? And like, I've got to spend time with my family. And I got to make sure I give them the attention that they need. So I'm going to get them, and I'm going to bring them to church a little bit so we can maybe do some of that together. You know, I got work. I got to make that work, right? We got to make sure we're there, and we'll devote so much time and worried about either losing our job or making a promotion or whatever it is. Things have to get done. Can I share with you a little secret? One day, either you're going to leave that position or you're going to die. But here's the deal. Either way, they're going to fill that position. Don't think you're so important that this needs all your attention. And we got school. School's important, right? We want to get an education. We want our kids to get an education. So we got to make sure, hey, guys, let's get it. Let's buckle down. All right, let's buckle down. We got to give this every bit of our attention right now. And so we're going to buckle down on this. Right? We may have to throw out some things for a little while. I know you wanted to go to that youth event. I know you wanted to go right to camp or whatever it is. But we've got other things, whatever it is. You wanted to go that D-Now weekend, but we got to study. Okay? Here's the deal. School's important. But this is a temporary thing, okay? Then we got hobbies, right? We got hobbies, we got ball, we got all different kinds of things we like to do, whatever you like to spend your money on, and that's fine. All these things, listen, we're talking about, they're not bad things, but we're like, okay, but I got to have some time for myself, right? So I need to, invest in this some, right? I got to put my hope over here. I got to do some with this to maybe kind of decompress, or like maybe it's with our kids, so we want to make sure that they get all the ball they can, because we want them to be with their friends, and we want to make sure that they grow up with some good memories, and they're baseball and all that, it teaches them good things, right? It teaches them how to be a team player. It teaches them all these different things. Let me tell you something, that ball team is not supposed to be teaching your kids. You're supposed to be teaching your kids, okay? All right, and I'm just saying, this is all these things we're talking about. They're not bad things, but we can begin to focus too much on these things. And what happens? Our heart becomes divided. It becomes divided. But listen, we like to sometimes make ourselves feel better, right? So we'll put God first, right? God first, and then we'll put family, right? Right, and then let's see. We'll go with work. Come on over here, Chasey. Get on the other side of family there. Right, so God first, and then, family second, right? Work third, and let's see, school, you're real important. Depending where you are in life, maybe this two are interchangeable, right? And then hobbies we got in here. Maybe you'll put church in here instead of hobbies. Maybe hobbies falls behind that. But let me just tell you something. As soon as you say God first, family second, work third, whatever, you've still divided your heart. Your heart is still divided. It's not until you seek the kingdom of God first and you lay your family down at the feet of God and you lay your work down at the feet of God and your school down and your hobbies. It's not until you place these at the feet of Jesus will these things ever come in their proper order or way. Because it shouldn't be God, then family. It should be God and family. It's God and work. And we need to understand this. We need to understand the love that God has given us and the love that we need to show the world. We need to show them who God is and that He is the most important thing. See, the reason we need to have undivided hearts for God is to show this temporary world the eternal love of God. This temporary world that is passing away, and there's nothing you can do about that. But you can do something about the eternal. Your kids can do something about the eternal, but what you are showing them, I promise you it'll make the difference. It's the most important thing you could teach your kids. It's the most important thing that you can all do is to put first God, and that's it. Seek his kingdom. Lay all these things at his feet. And live your life out loud for God. And you know what I feel like? And this is, I hate to do this to you, church, but I had to do it to myself. I feel like we become satisfied with salvation. Did you hear me? I feel like we've become satisfied with salvation. And we may be worried about our kids. We're like, I want to get them to know Jesus. I want to get them to know Jesus. I want to be saved. And they get saved, and it's a celebration. We're like, yes, yes. My kid's saved. Salvation is secure. I'm going to be with them in heaven. And we just, all right, now we got to go get that college degree. All right, now we can go and play all the ball we want to. Right now we can focus in on these things. And you know what? Now they can be successful and that they've, you know, got this salvation thing under control. That's it. And that's not how we're supposed to live. We're to put God first in all things of our lives. And we're supposed to seek his kingdom each and every day. And seek him out and put him first in everything that we do. But I'm afraid we become satisfied with salvation. And that's enough, huh? Here's a sobering thought. As I was trying to figure out how to finish this out, and, you know, it's been a difficult one. Because, you know, whenever you're, you know, preparing something like this, God does a lot of talking to you, right? But I want you to think about this. And you know, Andy, we're going to be wrapping up, so if you guys want to start easing this way, that's fine. Tomorrow, we will either wake up or we won't. You ever thought about that? Tomorrow, we're either going to wake up. We always think we're going to wake up, but you're not guaranteed that. What are you going to be doing if you wake up? What are you going to do? If you wake up tomorrow, what are you going to do with your life? What is that going to look like? Is it you just going about your daily life? Is it you just, like I said, doing the normal mundane things, getting things ready to go and getting the kids out the door and all that? Or is your life going to glorify God? Are you going to use your life to show the light? So what are you going to be doing if you wake up in the morning? And here's the thing, where are you going to be if you don't? I feel like how you may have answered that first question may help answer that second one. Church, as we enter into a time of fellowship and an altar call, I'm going to challenge some of you parents that are here. As we come down and Andy begins to play, I'm going to pray here in a minute, but I want you to come and grab your child and take them to that altar and pray over them. This isn't the case. I really know it isn't, but I'm going to tell you. Sometimes I feel like, and I don't mean to say this pridefully, but sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that's worried about these kids. I know that's not the case. I know you love your kids. I know you want them to know Jesus. Just make sure that's what they know. That you want them more than anything to have that relationship with God. And not a weak faith, but a strong faith.